really enjoy about worship is I get to look around and I see so many people that are really into it. And that excites me. Because if you're really into it, more than likely it's because you really love the Lord. And when I see a lot of people doing that, it just encourages my heart. And but you know, one of the sad things that I see in the natural and in the spiritual is a lot of people that have a lot of potential and never develop it or use it. And obviously, when we're talking about, we're just going to go ahead and follow in the same vein that the whole service has been in, about maturing and progressing in God and becoming what He wants us to be and loving Him with all of our heart. And you know, you never get very much from God by just dragging your feet and just getting enough. You know, God is not interested in His church being like a hospital where He just patches up enough that we can stay saved for the week. He'd rather for it to be a college where He can teach His people how to live in victory. And God has provided all that victory for us, but it's not ours unless we press into it and take hold of it. He never gives much to a lazy person. And so we want to press in. You know, I'll start out with saying this. When we're not, before we ever come to know the Lord, when we're not saved, and people try to talk to us about going to church and giving our heart to the Lord, the thought that goes through their mind most of the time is, what do I have to give up? What do I have to give up? And we all, and all of us that are saved, we know that that's not what it's all about. And so the world doesn't know God, and he doesn't understand his people. And you know, sometimes the world will try to tell us how we should act and how we should treat them. The world will try to tell you and lay guilt trips on you, you know, you should give your money to me. And you should condone what I do. And so forth. That's because they're walking in darkness. You're walking in the light. You do not have to let darkness dictate to you truth. Because that's not truth. We need to walk in truth. So the one saved says, okay, what do I have to give up? And do you know, there's some things that we do have to give up when we come to the Lord. And I look at it this way. It's kind of like a parent that says, okay, I don't want your kids playing in the street. It can do you harm. And so what God is asking us to give up when we're not saved is don't go play in the street. Don't go doing things that are harmful to you. I want you to have life. And so the next step is when we're newborn or when we're untaught. And the newborn or untaught Christian says, what can I get out of this? What do I get out of this being a Christian? And we find those scriptures that says we can have this and we can have that and we can have an abundance of life and we can have, you know, the Lord wants to bless our finances and He wants to bless our health. And it's true, we get those things out of it. But as we grow in the Lord, a progressive servant, excuse me, Christian, wants to become a servant. What can I do for the Lord? I've learned to love Him. I've learned to appreciate Him. I want to do some things. I want to do whatever I can for the Lord. And I thought about this, and I thought about John Kennedy. He said, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. And so we reach a point in life where we don't want to ask, what can God do for me? We want to ask, what can I do for Him? So we become progressive. We go from unsaved to a newborn and untaught to a progressive Christian, a servant. But you know where God wants to take us is maturity, where we're not a servant any longer, and we're not just wanting to get something out of this, that we want a relationship with our Heavenly Father. Amen. Where we are sons and daughters, where we know we're loved, where we love Him, where we love one another. You know, it's kind of hard to love God very long without loving God's people. You know, when you come to the house of the Lord, you know, and I don't do much up here because as long as there's background noise, I don't know what anybody's saying. So unless the Spirit of the Lord deals with me about something in particular, I leave a lot of that up to you. But during the week, I find that I still get phone calls and I still run into people, and there's plenty for me to do out there during the week. But you know, the real cry of our hearts ought to be, Lord, I just want to walk with you. I want to love you with all my heart. I want to hear your voice. I want to be your son or your daughter. I want to honor you in all I do, say, or think. And I just want you to minister to me and speak to my heart. Show me your word. Show me your truth. So we want to come to that place of maturity where we develop a relationship. You know, it's an awesome thing to have the love of God in our hearts and to have God love us like He does. You know, I often tell the Lord, I don't understand why you love me. I can look at my own life and I say, there ain't much in me worth loving. But He loved me anyhow. And I so appreciate that. I want to look in the 7th chapter of the book of Luke at some things. Let me see what time it is. Okay, I got plenty of time. The restaurants are all closed down to 1:30. In the 7th chapter of the book of Luke, and I don't want to really spend a lot of time reading if I can keep from it. There was two people involved here. There was a Pharisee who had invited Jesus to dinner. And Jesus went, no problem. But while he was there, there was a lady came to dinner. I don't know that she was invited or not, but she came in. And I'm sure the Lord invited her, whether the Pharisee did or not. Because Pharisees sometimes don't invite people that really love the Lord. But anyway, she was there. And she began to wash his feet with the hair of her head. She began to wash his feet with tears of repentance. The Pharisee looked up and he said, man, if this guy was a prophet, like they say he is, he'd know what kind of lady this was. But the Pharisee was a religious man. And in his own mind, he had it together. And he wanted enough fellowship with the Lord, or he wouldn't have invited me to dinner. But you know, there was a repentant lady and there was a critical man. Both were debtors. You and I were debtors. We owe our salvation to one person, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this story isn't so much about how great a sinner she was or anything like that. It's about repentance and forgiveness. And so we find both of them there. And so he's looking and he said, if he was a prophet, he'd know what kind of lady this was. And Christ said, Simon, I got something I want to talk to you about. You know, I like talking to people one-on-one, actually more than I do preaching. Because a lot of times I can get to their heart. But I don't mind preaching, but that's not what my life's all about. My life is about my relationship with the Lord on an everyday basis. And you know, we can come to church and we can hear some beautiful sermons, but you know, bottom line is, what we really amount to is what we're going to get during the week in our relationship with the Lord on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And when we come to the Lord, we can contribute something and we can receive more. But it's a progressive thing, and it's an everyday thing in our relationship with the Lord. And we need to know the Word of God enough that all during the week, whatever we're struggling with, the Scriptures can come to our life, mind. You know, the other day, I think it was Friday, and I was looking and working on this thing, and I thought about so many Scriptures, and I thought, Lord, we'll be here to dark if I use all these Scriptures on this one subject. So I had to just start eliminating this one and eliminating that one. And you know, the bottom line is, the first thing you got to do if you're going to preach like this is you got to find out what the Lord wants you to preach. Because I looked at it and I thought, you know, this would be good. And the Lord says, no, this is a little bit simpler, but, and it won't impress people much, but it's what I want them to hear. And everything this morning worked along the same line, coming into a real relationship of love with the Lord. Hallelujah. And so both of these people were there. Both of them were debtors. Both of them were unable to pay. You and I have a redemption that was so valuable, we couldn't even begin to pay it. Our need was so great, there's nothing we could do about it. But you know, in verse 47, there's something I like. Sometimes I look at the Scriptures and it's like, man, I don't know what that means. But I begin to study and I begin to research and I begin to pray about it. In verse 47, let me see it up more. 7th chapter of Luke, verse 47. Okay. I was looking at the 8th chapter. That's not making sense. It says, for this reason I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has forgiven little loves little. And you know, I read that, and my first reaction, well, that sounds like the worse sinner you are, the better Christian you're going to be. And I thought, no, that can't be the way it is. So there's got to be something there that my natural mind did not grasp. And so he's not talking, you know, it doesn't matter. The Pharisee and the woman both had a need. That neither one of them could afford it. Neither one of them could pay their debt. He forgave them 100%. But you know, she realized what she needed. He hadn't realized what he needed. You know, sometimes if we were a terrible, terrible person and we come to the Lord, if we'd been out there murdering people and raping people and all this kind of stuff, we'd probably know we need salvation. But if we were just a pretty good old boy, like some of us were, like some of you were anyway, and then sometimes when we come to the Lord, we're not totally aware of how much we needed the Lord. But you know, the best thing to do is just get alone with God and spend some time praying, spend some time seeking and giving ourselves to God. And, you know, one of the things that I think was a real advantage to me is when I come to the Lord, I didn't know anything about Christianity. I didn't know a lot of things. I didn't know anything about the Word much. I mean, yeah, Grandma had read a few stories to me out of books when I was 5 years old, but, you know, I didn't really know much. And it don't matter how much we've heard, if we don't know the Lord, we really didn't let it sink into our hearts most of the time. But, you know, when I come to the Lord, I was really bashful and backwards. And so when I came to the altar, I spent about 2 hours there. And I can remember one thing I told the Lord. This was hard on me, and this was embarrassing. And I don't like to be around people. And so I'm going to stay right here at this altar until you give me something that changes my life. I want this thing to stick because I don't want to go through this again. And I stayed there. And then I found out that before very long, the nice thing about it is I had some neighbors that got saved about the same time I did. And so we'd go to church someplace almost every night. And I was younger then than I am now. Now, when it comes about 9 o'clock, I want to go to bed. Back then, at 9 o'clock, I was still wound up tight. And so when we get out of church and we come home, and I lived in the country, and I lived out there, and there wasn't nobody around. The next house was a half a mile away. And so when I'd come home, I'd pull in the driveway, and I wouldn't go in the house. I'd go out there in them hay fields, and I'd spend an hour, 2, 3 hours out there seeking the Lord. And when it came to being filled with the Spirit, you know, I never knew there was such a thing. And so I began to think, man, this sounds like a pretty good deal. I think I'd kind of like to have this. And I'd go to church and they'd pray for me for hours. And finally, you know, they'd just finally all give up and go home and leave me there by myself. And I didn't know. I kept thinking, okay, if I'm going to speak in tongues, then I suppose that the Lord just knocks me down and takes over and just, phew, there it is, you know. Didn't work that way. And so, and I may have told you this before, I don't know. But one night I'm out there and walking down the country roads by myself and out there in those hay fields. And I said, okay, Lord, here's the deal. I trust you. I trust you that you understand that I don't understand. And so I'm going to pray. And sometimes I feel this unction of your spirit, but I didn't know what it was. And I didn't know whether it was right or not. So I'm going to do this. But if I'm wrong, don't kill me. Because I'm trying to just be straight and honest here. I just don't understand. And you know what? He didn't kill me. And I was so glad. But all those times spent out there in those hay fields and walking those roads of a night was where I got my stability in the Lord. And sometimes, you know, sometimes we want people to come up and we got 90 seconds to get you saved, you know. So repeat after me and I'll play this prayer and you're on your way. But you know, the best thing to do then after that is go home and find yourself a place and really get serious about God and develop this relationship. Hallelujah. Okay. So it's not the worst sinners that make the best Christians. It's those who recognize their need for Him and get hungry for Him and want to press into it to realize He's a pearl of great price. You know, that's scriptural. I don't have time to take you into all these scriptures this morning, but the scripture says that He is a pearl of great price. He's worth selling everything else for to obtain. He's worth giving up everything else for to obtain. When you can trade an old beat up Chevrolet for a brand new Mercedes, my advice to you is trade. When you can trade a rotten life for a life of abundance, make the trade. Yes. Don't be dumb. You know, my wife was talking about someone here a while back that doesn't know the Lord, you know. And she said, you know, they thought they were so smart. She said, and they deliberately chose to go to hell rather than heaven. How smart is that? That's not very smart. We always have, you know, that where we spend eternity depends on our choice. Don't be dumb. Hey, I know it's not Caroline's language, but I'll put it this way. Don't be stupid. What happened to this not smart thing, you know? I know sometimes she tells Joe, you know, he'll hesitate and she'll say, not smart, that's where you're trying to go. Not stupid. But if you deliberately choose to go to hell instead of heaven, that's not smart. Learn to make right choices. In Matthew it says, store up the treasures in heaven. Moth doesn't eat it. Doesn't rust, doesn't mold, doesn't deteriorate. Put your treasures where they're going to be protected. Then it says, you know, where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. And if our heart is on something, that's what we think about. That's what we associate with. Yeah. And, you know, when I met Gail, it's like I couldn't wait till she'd get off of work. Because I wanted to go see her. And, of course, when I started dating Gail, I told her, I said, now look, I'll call you up. Let's go out to dinner if you want to. But I said, this is not a date. I have no intention to ever getting married. I don't want to get serious. And I want you to be straight with you right up front. You know, all this is dinner. I guess you know where that went. And uh, First time I ever kissed her was I took her out the barn to show her something I'd been working on, and I kissed her. The other day she was down in the shop and I kissed her, and she smiled and I knew what she was thinking. But you know, I enjoyed spending time with her. I enjoy spending more time with her now than I ever did. And I love her and I appreciate her. And you know, one of the things that I appreciate about her, she has to get up. She has to get up and take her son to work at 5:30 in the morning. But she gets up at 4:30 so she can study and get in the Word. Then, when she goes to bed, she pops herself up in bed, and she studies before she goes to bed. But the beauty of it is during the day, she practices what she studied. Hallelujah. And I'm beginning to lag behind. It's like, man, I got to get on the ball. She's getting ahead of me. And but I admire that about her, and I appreciate it about her. And it's great to have that kind of a relationship. My best time is of a morning when I get up and we sit there and we drink coffee together. And sometimes we'll sit there and drink two cups of coffee and not say hardly a word. But I enjoy it. And so, but God wants that kind of relationship with us, where we fall in love with Him and we really enjoy His presence. And where we come to a maturity, not so we can do so much for Him, but so we can be what He wants us to be, and where we can allow Him to change us, mold us, shape us into what He wants us to be, and so we can have a relationship with Him. He said, look, if you're willing to obey me, you'll understand my word. We need to know what His word says. We need to know what it means. You know, God is such an awesome God. He said what He meant. He meant what He said. And He will explain it to us if we have a heart to press in. Jesus was talking to His disciples one time and He said, hey, it's given to you to know what this is all about. A lot of these people that are not sincere, they ain't never going to catch on. But He wants us to catch on to what His word means so we can have that relationship. When we have that relationship, then we have all the blessings of the other things that we've been seeking after all of our life. Hallelujah. But He wants that true, genuine relationship that will change us, that will focus us, that will change our nature, give us the ability to know truth. We have a knowledge that speaks of a progress, that speaks of attainment, that speaks of freedom. Know the truth that sets us free. I'm going to look at something in the book of John right quick. And 7th chapter. I never did really learn how to type. It would take me forever to type this up. My problem is, though, I can't read my own writing, so getting to be a problem. I guess I'm going to have to learn to type. But in John, don't know exactly the verse that I wanted to go to, but in verse 42, Jesus said, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came and have come from God. For I have not even come of my own initiative, but He sent me. Why do you not understand what I'm saying? It is because you cannot hear my word. And I looked at that and that's another one of them scriptures. Why do you not understand what I'm saying? It's because you don't hear my word. And I'm thinking, it almost sounds like double talk to me. So I love these kind of scriptures because it makes you study and it makes you dig in and it makes you try to find out what He's really saying. You know, and I can go back and I remember, I can remember hearing a lot of parents talking to their kids, and it's like the kids can hear us, but they don't know what we're saying. They just got to shut it out, you know. And sometimes we just skip over God's word and we go through this thing. And here He's talking to a bunch of people that had been religious, and they had their own way of thinking about what they're supposed to be and how who Christ was supposed to be and how He's supposed to act and what He was supposed to do when He came, and He did not fit into their theology. And you know, most of us, if we were sitting in a particular denominational church, we tend to believe whatever that denomination teaches us. And if we're not careful, that will close us off from hearing some of the things that God wants us to hear and understand. And so we need to come to God always with an open heart. Lord, I want to know what your word says. I don't care what my denomination says. I don't care what my grandma said. I want to know what you say today. And so when we come to the Lord, we need to open up our heart and say, Lord, I just want to know your truth. I don't want to know what someone else says it is. I want to know for myself what you're saying, because I want to walk in it. I want to live it. I want to benefit from it. And I want a relationship with you. I want to know and understand what you're saying. Why is it you don't understand what I'm saying? Is it because you can't hear my word? He said, if you really was the Father who you say you were, then there would be a relationship there that would cause you to understand and build upon that and know what I'm saying. And that would set us free. When we develop the character and the nature of a believer, we also obtain all the privileges of a believer. There's a lot of benefits to walking with God and serving God. A lot of people don't realize that, but there are tremendous benefits to serving God right here on this earth. You know, realize that when you get to heaven, you ain't going to take your Bibles with you. You won't even need them. We need them for here and today, and there's so many wonderful and beautiful things in there, but we have to do. You know, last week Joe said something that I thought is such a truth if we just grasp it. It's not a matter of the word that comes. The word comes in various ways, and some people just ignore it, don't pay much attention to it, and so on and so forth. But it's a condition of the heart. We have to have our heart conditioned to hear that word, to understand that word, and we're going to do that simply because we want to walk in that word. We want to mature. We want to develop. We want to grow. We want to be what the Lord wants us to be. You know, the best thing you can do in life, if you want to be blessed, the best thing you can do in life is please God. You know, if you please God, I guarantee you He'll please you. Hey, there's not too many things you can guarantee on this earth. But what you can guarantee is what is in this book. And if you please God, He will please you. So many people, some people are afraid to really give themselves to God, afraid that God might call them to preach or something. God's never going to call you to do something that He's not going to enable you to do and cause you to enjoy it. First time I ever preached, I was scared to death. Sometimes I still get a little scared. Because I tell you what, Curtis, it's an awesome responsibility to have the word of the Lord in your mouth. And we're responsible for what we say. And we're also responsible for how we live during the week. And, if you really want to know what this word, if you really want to get into this word and practice this word, best place to do it is home. Now, I think you will all agree with me. We will sometimes say some negative things in a tone of voice to our wives and to our husbands that we wouldn't say to strangers. James talked about the tongue. He said, if you want really pure religion, get a hold of this tongue. Well, the best place to get a hold of this tongue is at home. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I probably shouldn't have said that. I'll have to practice it more when I get home. But there is no better place to practice the Word of God than in your relationship with your husband, your wife, or your kids, or your parents. And if we can do it there, we can do it anywhere. In the book of Ezekiel, well, let me say this before I go to it. Spiritual things are spiritually recognized. Spiritually discerned. So if we're going to understand spiritual things out of the Word of God, and this is not a natural book, this is a spiritual book, and if we're going to understand things spiritually, we have to have a relationship with the Father, that we have the Spirit of the Lord, and we have a connection to hear and with our heart what He's saying. And when we get that, then it makes sense to us. Spiritual things are spiritually discerned. Ezekiel, he says that He's going to give us a heart of flesh. Now, take a stony heart out of us and He's going to give us a heart of flesh. To me, all that means is He's going to give us a heart. If we give our lives to the Lord, He will give us a heart that is pliable and moldable, that He can mold us into the type of person that He wants us to be. God wants to build character and integrity within our lives. And He'll do it. All we have to do, our part is that we just have to yield to Him and say, I want it. But you know, sometimes I find that I can get all excited about what the Lord's doing and say, yep, I want that. Joe can preach a message and I can say, yep, I'm going to do that this week. But it's a lot easier on Sunday when I walk out of here than it is on Monday. And so but what I do on Monday is what makes it work for me. Hallelujah. Isaiah talks about, he said, the effect of righteousness is quietness and assurance. If we become a righteous person, there is quietness. He settles down in our spirit. We become quiet in our spirit when we can hear the voice of the Lord. You know, I love it of a night because I love to go to bed and just meditate on the scriptures, and I like to get quiet. And all of a sudden, when I really get quiet and get things of the day off of my mind, I can hear better with my spirit. So it's the effect of it. Righteousness has an effect on our life. That effect is, one of the effects of it is quietness and assurance. We need some assurance in our life sometimes. We need it every day. James talks about, let me just go to read James because it's kind of important. Verse 16 in the third chapter. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil work. That doesn't matter whether it's on our job, whether it's in our home, whether it's just in our life. Where jealousy and a selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil work. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable. You know, and there are certain traits that I find that are more prevalent in women than they are men, and vice versa. And so we have to work on things differently. And sometimes us men, you know, we have a tendency, well, we're the head of the house and we know. Better not go any further ahead of. And so that's one thing that we have to correct sometimes. And sometimes we just have to listen to our wives and we have to just, but most of all, we have to listen to the Lord and allow Him. It's full of mercy. It's full of good fruits. Unwavering and without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace. We sow it in peace. You know, you can't sow righteousness in a troubled spirit. You can't sow righteousness in an angry spirit. We have to learn to let the peace of God. The peace of God is so, so important to our lives. It controls a lot of things. And Psalms 85 and 10 says, righteousness and peace have kissed each other. I like that scripture. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. They are lovers. I start to say buddies. They're more than lovers. I don't want to say they're buddies when you're talking about people kissing anymore. But anyway, you know what I'm saying. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. They go together. They work together. They love each other. If you want righteousness, find peace. Peace will help you to establish righteousness in your life. Hallelujah. I want to go to 2 Peter here in a minute as I wrap this thing up. One of the things that helped me, I remember, and I heard this story, and I guess it was true. I don't know. I didn't know the people. Don't even remember who told me. But in the Old Testament, when the Lord was getting ready to take Elijah home, Elisha was there, and the mantle fell off of Elijah, and Elisha went and picked it up. And when he picked up this mantle, he wanted something from God that he'd seen in Elisha that he'd walked with and served under. And so he picked up this mantle and he smote the water. And he said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? Okay, so I heard about this young man that was called to preach. And so he decided he's going to try it. You know, trying stuff on our own in our flesh just doesn't work too good sometimes. And so he said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? Really aggressive and really determined and full of not so much faith as zeal. And the Lord spoke to him. He said, "Where's Elijah?" You know, and I remember that all of my life. And when I want something from God, I think about that sometimes. And I think, if I want something from God, I got to go after it. I got to be the person that God can be willing to give that to. If I'm willing to accept the responsibility, if I'm willing to walk in His Word, then I find that the Lord will speak to me. You know, and I've had the Lord speak to me a couple of times, and it just kind of... But you know, it's amazing He can speak to you, and if someone, a human being, done it, it would make us angry. I remember years ago, I was upset at my pastor. And I don't really recommend that. And I stayed home from church on Sunday night, Sean. I ain't going to listen to him. I'm mad at him. And so I'm going to stay home and I'm going to pray about it. Maybe the Lord straightened him out. And I'm praying about it, and the Lord spoke to me. He said, "That ain't none of your business. Get yourself up and get to church." He didn't say he's right. He didn't say he's wrong. He just said, "That ain't none of your business." Thank goodness I don't have to hear that kind of stuff from the Lord very often. But it required that I do something. And you know, it didn't take me but about 5 seconds. So that was a pretty good pastor. And he hadn't changed anything, but I had changed. And a lot of times it's our situations. We want something else, and we want someone else to change. And the Lord says, "That's my business. I want you to change." And when we change, it's amazing how much better attitude we have toward people and how much better person they become. Okay, I want to read another scripture to you in 2 Peter chapter 1. And I really started out with this, and I thought, I'm going to use this as my base. And then all these other things kept coming to me. But it says, and it talks about maturing in the Lord and becoming what He wants us to be. "Grace and peace be multiplied to you." You know, if we get into the Word of God and we start using the Word of God, it multiplies in our life. But if we just read it and ignore it, it doesn't do anything for us. "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." We got to have that knowledge of Him. "Seeing that His divine power hath granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises." This, you know, there's some beautiful things in here. "So that by them," you know, he gave us all these promises for a purpose, for our benefit. God does everything for our benefit. All this Word is for our benefit. He doesn't need it. He knows it. He wrote it. He doesn't need it. He gave it to us. And so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature. Get the divine nature more than the money. Get the divine nature more than the healing. Get the divine nature. It's valuable to your life. It'll bring all these other things. "Having escaped the corruption that is the world through by lust. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence." I kind of like that. I'm glad He put that in there. He said, you've got to be diligent about this thing. You can't just dilly-dally around and expect God to do everything in the world for you. You've got to apply some, be diligent about seeking Him. "In your faith, supply moral excellence. And in your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control." That one works at home real good. "And in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing." You ever notice how the Lord has the ability to just put three words in the middle of a sentence and make it just change? "For if these qualities are yours and are increasing," always increasing. You know, you would think by now, as long as I've lived for the Lord, ever since I was a teenager, I would have it together. But no, there's always, every day, I have to put it into practice. Every day, I have to read it. Every day, I have to pray about it. Every day, I have to add that growth. Every day. It's a daily thing. But you know, when you're in love with someone and they're in love with you and you love God and He loves you, that ain't a problem. That should be a delight. Hallelujah. And if we delight ourselves in the Lord, He'll give us the desires of our heart. But first, He'll change your heart so the desires are right. Hallelujah. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, kind of like the Pharisee, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing for you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. As long as you've got these things that's written here in your heart and working on them and increasing in them, allowing them. And you know the thing of it is, he didn't say he'll do this. He said you do this. You add all these things. We add all these things and they come from God. And we add these things by giving ourselves unto the Lord. Getting that heart opened up. Letting that soil be what it should be so that God can place these things in our hearts. Hallelujah. So we're talking about the progression from the time that we're not even, don't even know the Lord, till the time that we leave this earth to be in His presence. We want to progress. We want to mature. We want our lives constantly, every day, shaped and molded by the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. Sean will come back. I know that many things have already been done here in the service this morning, and words have already been spoken, and encouragements come to our hearts. But I want you to know, it doesn't matter which one of these four categories, and I just put it into four categories. Everybody else could put it into something else, more or less. But in these four categories, we find ourselves in one of them. Either we don't know the Lord, or we're just being materialistic about it, or we're really hungering and pressing in and taking hold of the things of God. And if you're here this morning, and you find yourself in that first category, and you're not really sold out to God, and you don't really, maybe you don't even know God, then I want you to come. Or I want you, if you just lift your hand, if you just don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you find out that there's benefits to knowing Him, then just raise your hand and we'll pray for you. Otherwise, I just want to pray for you. That every one of us will just, no matter what position we're in, even if we're in the last place and we have a really love for God, He's first and foremost in our life, we need it to be that way tomorrow. Father, I come before You this morning and I realize there's people who here who love You. They desire to express You and they desire to grow in You and be what You want them to be and mature in You. And Lord, I'm so thankful that You've allowed me to have the privilege of fellowshipping with this kind of people. And Lord, I'm asking You that Your word would continue to go forth in this place and that we would have a heart to always receive it and walk in it and mature and be what You would have us to be. Help us, Father. Strengthen us so that day by day we'll look into Your word and look into Your word with a desire that that word would be applied to our life. We would take it and we would use it. We would walk in it. We would be what we need to be. We would be the kind of husbands that we need to be. We'd be the kind of wives we need to be. We'd be the kind of co-workers that we need to be. That we would be, Lord, such that our lives would be a testimony and a witness to others. That they can look at our lives and say, I want that. Help us, Father, to mature and be to that place where we can look at You and we can know that You're looking at us and saying, I'm pleased. Let our hearts always be that we want to please You. We want to live for You. We want to serve You. But most of all, we want to recognize that we're Your child and that You're our Father and that You love us. Amen. Amen. Anybody still need prayer? We've got plenty of people here who'll pray for you. Amen. We're not only sons, we want to be servants also. Amen. The Lord bless you.
The fear that held us now gives